All right, so we were talking about this privatization of schools. We're talking about the takeover of public education. It's not just schools. It's also the U.S. Postal Service. In fact, it's our roads, it's our infrastructure, it's everything that we, the richest nation on earth, maintain to make a decent, fair society for everybody. And nobody puts that all together better than our next speaker, the head of the U.S. Postal Workers Union, Mark Dimenstein. He has called for a grand alliance of everybody who cares about the public interest, everybody who wants to fight back against private greed, and the triumph of the greediest over the needs of everybody. Mark Dimenstein is the president of a union that represents more than 200,000 employees of the U.S. Postal Service. He has been fighting back against a privatization scheme involving the office supply chain Staples. And more than that, he's advocating for postal voting to increase turnout, to serve the public interest, to serve our democracy well. We need our postal service. We need leaders like Mark Dimenstein. Please join me in welcoming Mark Dimenstein.
Solidarity, sisters and brothers. Great to be here with the Fighting Bobs and the Fighting Bobbies at ground zero of the fight against the war on the workers. I consider myself here on hallowed ground in Madison, Wisconsin, where all of you and the working class and their allies stood so strong. And let me tell you something. Battles and skirmishes may be lost along the way, but there's a hell of a lot more of us than them, and we're going to win the war, sisters and brothers. Now, I don't know how many of you read this sign about the turf rules. Did anybody read this? No peanuts, no sunflower seeds. But then it said no driving stakes. But I don't think that included the driving stakes into the political heart of Scott Walker and the Koch brothers, do you? It had a footnote on that one. And by the way, I think most of you know that Scott Walker is trying to expand his fight to destroy unions to the federal sector, of which our union is a part. And you know, it's not so much ideological with these people, it's economic. It's really economic. At the end of the day, they want cheap and exploited labor with no rights, no voice, and they don't care even if there's a minimum wage, do they? And they certainly don't care if there's a living wage. You know, I was thinking coming out here, maybe because I'm in the heartland, I started thinking about these GM executives who want us to believe that they're products of the heartbeat of America. And, you know, I think the Bob Fest is part of the heartbeat of America, don't you? I think the 200,000 people in the rotunda are the heartbeat of America, and the people from the farms, to the mills, to the factories, to our classrooms, and the schools, and the hospitals, and the offices. And guess what, sisters and brothers? The post office is indeed part of the heartbeat of America. The public post office. We're part of the public good and the public common. And we consider the post office a national treasure. Part of our democratic right. Part of our democratic right. In the Constitution itself, that little document people like to quote but don't know that much about sometimes, do they? Like these Supreme Court justices. And a mission that's there to bind and weave the people of the country together. Mandated to go to 153 million households a day. And yet, this public good is under severe attack. And there are those that would like to privatize it, from Wall Street to many in Congress to private companies. And let me tell you something. The post office mission is universal service at uniform and reasonable rates, no matter who we are, where we live, how much we make. And a privatized post office can never do that, brothers and sisters. It'll be who can make a bottom dollar, and the rest of it, who cares whether you get your medicines or your mail or get your bills paid on time or get those greeting cards and those birthday cards to our loved ones, and so on and so forth. All without, by the way, any taxpayer money. And what's happening to the post office, and I'm not going to bore you with the details. For one thing, I have 10 minutes. For the other thing, you've been here all day. But the post office treasury, which is not taxpayer-funded, it's user-funded, all of us, is being looted. And it's being looted by a law passed by a bipartisan Congress in 2006 that's draining $5 billion a year from the post office funds to the Treasury of the United States under a cockamamie scheme to pre-fund retiree health costs 75 years into the future for people that aren't even born yet, no less work at the post office. And it's an effort to loot the Treasury, to steal the money, and then say what? I call it the four Ds. Defund. Hey, they're broke. Then degrade. Close post offices. Let's go to five-day delivery. Let's do 4 or 3. Who cares? Let's slow down the mail. You all know what's happening. And after they defund and degrade, then they demonize the public sector and public workers. And then they move in to destroy the four Ds. So we have two different visions of the post office. Top postal management has been on a cut, slash, and burn. We and you, the American Postal Workers Union, the other three postal unions, we all work together, the letter carriers, the rural letter carriers, the mail handlers, and us. We have a very different vision. We believe in a vibrant public post office for generations to come. We don't believe the internet is destroying the post office. We have a saying, the internet taketh and the internet giveth. It's changed the way some people pay their bills, including my three daughters. But they use the heck out of the post office because they do something I never did. They shop like heck on the internet. And that creates mail, and it creates packages. And if there's not a public infrastructure that can get those packages to where they're going every day, everywhere in this country, e-commerce isn't going to work. Let me give you two examples. We're in contract negotiations with the post office, and we have put forth demands. Good service, good jobs. We're putting forth demands not only for the workers, but for the people of this country. And we want an expanded postal service. I'll give you two quick examples. One was mentioned by Sister Ruth, about vote by mail. So in Oregon, where you have to vote by mail, 81% of the people voted in the last election. 36% or so voted around the country. Now, in this day of the new Jim Crow, of voter suppression laws cropping up all over through ALEC and all of these right-wing legislatures, what an answer to voter suppression to have vote by mail. And then let them go try to fix those votes and hack those machines and turn these elections upside down and steal our democratic right that they can do with this computer voting. They won't be able to do it. The other example is postal banking and financial services. It's not a radical idea. I happen to like radical ideas. That's not one of them. We had postal banking from 1911 to 1967 in this country. Many countries of the world have postal banking. Here's the social problem. You pass it every day when you drive around. Payday lending, check cashing, Western Union. There are 68 million people in this country that have no access to banking, and they get caught in a legal, mafia-like, predatory lending industry that's ripping people off. It's a form of peonage. What do we have in alternative? A trusted, accountable postal service. Trained postal workers that can provide basic financial services in all of our communities. 38% of the zip codes don't even have a bank. Guess what every zip code does have? It's got a post office. So those are just two of the examples. And by the way, postal management will never do it unless the fighting Bobs and Bobbies of the world make them do it. We're going to have to make them do it, and we're working on that together with folks like you all over the country. The post office, sisters and brothers, doesn't belong to the American Postal Workers Union. It certainly doesn't belong to postal management. It doesn't belong to Congress. It belongs to all of you. It belongs to the people of this country. And if we're going to keep it, we're going to have to fight together to keep it. We are going to have to join together to keep it. We have a table somewhere towards the back over there. If you haven't been there, please come by. We need for you to boycott Staples with these privatization schemes, putting and Quill.com. We need for you to spread the word. Join a grand alliance to say, our slogan, by the way, with Staples is the U.S. mail is not for sale. Right? We got a management, by the way, that's taken our national treasure of these wonderful buildings that was paid for in the past by all the taxpayer dollars. It's not taxpayer funded now, but it used to years ago. Beautiful murals from the Depression era and selling it off, in many cases, to the lowest bidder, not even the highest bidder. We need for you to look up the Grand Alliance to save the public postal service and join together. We're going to have to decide whether the future of this post office, whether it's going to be Wall Street's post office or whether it's going to be your and ours and the people's post office. So in the spirit of fighting Bob La Follette, with the spirit of fighting unjust wars and his spirit of building independent politics and parties and public ownership and defense of civil liberties and workers' rights, it's great to be here with you together. Let's carry on and march on together. I'm going to end with the words of Joe Hill, the famous union organizer, troubadour, labor poet. This is the 100th centennial anniversary of the execution of Joe Hill's execution by the copper bosses of Utah. And before he was executed, his last words to all of us was, "Don't mourn, organize." Thank you, sisters and brothers. Solidarity forever.